Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Same thing for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How was your week been? How was your Thanksgiving?
My week's been very busy. I've had a lot of social engagements, a lot of work, a lot of preparing for my upcoming trip. But my Thanksgiving was great. Spent it low-key with some friends. How was yours? How was your week?
Week has been good. Thanksgiving was nice. It was a much smaller gathering than what we normally have. There were some kids who were sick and stuff like that. But it was still fun. We played a lot of games and hung out, stuff like that. And then the week has been good, but you know, my child has this extraordinarily wonderful ability to get sick like the last day of any break. So, you know, she'd be off for 7 days, feel great for six of them, and then spend the seventh one just violently vomiting all day. So
she knows she has to go back to school.
Yeah. So I was telling you before, but, you know, she got up middle of the night, started throwing up everywhere. Like I couldn't find it, which was really strange. She was like, Dad, I threw up. And I was like, where? She's like, I threw up. So I went in her bed and like, you know, look, there was nothing on the pillow, nothing on the blanket, nothing on the bed, nothing on the floor. I'm like, all right. So we go down the hallway and I get her tucked back in. She goes back to bed. And then she wakes me up again like an hour and a half later. She's like, I threw up again. And I was like, where? And so the first time she had gone into the kitchen and threw up on the floor and then just was like, instead of telling me, she just came down the hallway and was like, Dad, I just threw up. Didn't tell me where. And then the second time she folded up the blanket and like tucked it under the, like on the floor, just kind of tucked it off to the side. So I was like, you're like the David Copperfield of throwing up. You're just hiding it everywhere, little David Blaine. So, but yeah, it's been like, you know, Kara was up with her for a little bit while I slept and we've kind of been reversing all day, but she's feeling better. Hasn't been around a fever or anything like that, but it's been an interesting day to say the least. So definitely glad to be here and spending time with you and recording this and not cleaning up vomit for the first time in like 24 hours has been pretty rad. So,
you know, we've probably had this conversation before, but with three animals, sometimes I just have to yell at my children. Like all I do is clean up vomit between the dog or the cat or the other cat. I'm like, do y'all ever just not regurgitate? It drives me nuts.
Yeah. Listen, sometimes that is like how I question if there really is a higher power in this universe, because I'm like, if there is, who would design you where this is something that would happen? You know what I'm saying? Like why would that be built into the design that like occasionally you're just going to eat something that doesn't agree with you. And then everything you've eaten in your entire 6 years of being alive is just going to come out violently. Like sounds like a good idea. It's really funny though, because like I've never really had a problem with it. You know, like, I've been out with friends, you know, things like that on rough nights where people have gotten sick, and it's never really like, you know, nobody wants to be around it, but it's not one of those things where it's like, I'm going to be sick. You know what I mean? Yeah. And Kara has always very much been the opposite, where it's like, before we had Millie, it's like, I don't want to be around it. If I smell it, I'm going to get sick. You know what I mean? And now like, that's we're both, mother. Yeah, we're both just troopers. It's like, get a snow shovel. Like, you scoop it up.
Oh, no, that's not my mother. My mom is still like, you're vomiting, you're on your own. She'll knock from afar as she's, hey, you okay?
Are you okay?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She still does it to this day.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's weird with kids where it just, you kind of push through it a little bit where you're like, well, this is gross, but nobody else is going to do, I can't call somebody else and be like, come right. grab this. You know what I mean? So yeah, like I said, it's been nice to have a throw up free couple of hours. And again, if that is something that just the idea of that makes you gag a little bit and you're listening to the car, you're welcome.
And you may not want to listen to our podcast because if right. vomiting gets you, then the murders are going to get you.
Yeah, 110%. But I know we talked about it in our Thanksgiving episode. If you haven't got a chance to listen to it, because I know some people with the holiday are behind and stuff like that. And I know we jump around stuff like that. So Olivia, for her birthday, is going to be traveling out of the country. And so for this week, since we did a part one, a part two last week, this week we're going to be doing short on time episodes. And then next week we'll do something a little different, you know, maybe try to funk it up a little bit, do something special, something like that. So we're going to be getting into a short on time episode this week and on Thursday. So again, just want to give you a heads up so you don't think there's anything wrong, you're missing anything or anything like that. But this week is my case. And Olivia, I'm not even going to ask if you looked at my notes because I know that you didn't. But
actually, I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Just anything, to make sure I wasn't repeating.
I'm doing the same one. That's why I sent them to you early. I was like, let me just send this over so you know which one I'm doing. But did anything in the notes or anything like that ring a bell to you, or did it seem pretty brand new?
I didn't really read that far into it. I just kind of looked for some names, some themes, some cities.
Okay. So quick glance just to make sure. It was literally like, I don't see the same name.
But I did look at them.
Well, I appreciate it because we'd be in a rough spot before your vacation. But yeah, this one I picked is really close to where I live now. So it kind of hit close to home. And, you know, I love a certain kind of case. So what do you say? I know we've talked a lot about vomit and, you know, pet accidents and stuff like that. Should we quit with the disgusting Gabby, get into some murder, stabby, breakdown this week short on time?
I think so.
All right, let's do it. For this week's Short on Time case, we're headed to Kingsport, Tennessee. On September 6, 1997, Kingsport police received a call to report a sexual assault. Officers were dispatched to the home on the 400 block of Rock Springs Road, and when they arrived, they discovered a grisly scene. Inside the home was 17-year-old James Houston, and he had been stabbed to death. His mother, Mary Houston, had been sexually assaulted by an unknown male. Now, detectives worked quickly collecting any evidence available at the scene. All of the forensics would be submitted to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations for testing. And using the evidence, authorities were able to build a DNA profile for their suspect. Now, this profile was submitted to CODIS, a combined DNA index system, but sadly, there were no hits. Detectives continued to work the case as best they could, but with few leads, it would eventually grow cold. And it would remain that way for 26 years. However, in 2023, detectives with the Sullivan County Sheriff's Office decided to reopen the case, partnering with the TBI's Cold Case Initiative in hopes of finally catching James's killer and Mary's attacker. Now, using modern DNA testing, authorities partnered with a forensic genealogy company called Othram Labs. And using evidence from the scene, scientists were able to use forensic-grade genome sequencing to build a comprehensive profile of their suspect. Then, employees at Othram ran the profile through a genetic genealogy database, hoping for a new lead. And it wouldn't be long before a suspect came into focus, 64-year-old George Robinson. Now, luckily, investigators were able to locate Robinson, and he was still living in the Kingsport area. So a sample of his DNA was taken and compared to the evidence collected in 1997, and it was an exact match. So on November 20th, 2024, a Sullivan County grand jury returned indictments, charging Robinson with murder. Now, on the same day that the charges were filed, sheriff's deputies arrived at Robinson's apartment to take him into custody, but their suspect would end up barricading himself inside the residence. A SWAT team was called to the scene and they attempted to negotiate for several hours. But when that didn't work, SWAT officers were forced to make entry into the home. And it was at this point that Robinson pulled out a firearm and shot himself, seemingly hoping to die instead of being taken into custody. But sadly for Robinson, his attempt was unsuccessful, and he was arrested and taken to the local hospital for treatment of his wounds. Now, as of discussing the story today, no word has been given on his condition, but I definitely want to follow up with this one and, you know, kind of make sure we loop back just to find out exactly what happened. It would be very nice to see justice for James and for his mother, Mary. Sadly, she won't see that because she did pass away a year after her attack. But, you know, I know for family members and all involved, we'd like to get a definite closing on this one. So that's this week's case, Olivia. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
You know, John, a case like this never gets old. I love when we do these quick little shorties where the DNA is solving these crimes of like 20, 30 years. I think that every family deserves justice. And so that if it means that they walked free for several years or decades, but now they've gotten caught, that makes my heart happy. So I like these.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, it really made a lot of sense too, where, you know, when he tried to take his own life, or seemingly tried to take his own life, right? Like, you've been walking around getting away with this now for 26 years. So the fact that, you know, the metaphorical chickens are coming home to roost, as they say, you know, you probably thought you were never going to get caught, and it was never anything you were ever going to have to worry about. And, you know, you just didn't know they were still holding on to this DNA that they've had since 1997. And, you know, and I also wonder too, like, with the number of documentaries and stuff out there, like the people who commit these crimes, with everyone, those documentaries, are they just like, oh, God. Oh, man.
Like the guilt has to just eat you alive. Maybe they don't feel those kind of feelings like a normal person. I mean, they are a murderer and an attacker. You know, like the guilt would just be like, I wouldn't make it a month.
No, 100%. Like, I've talked about it before, but like, I can't even eat like fast food.
You spent 10 years in prison?
No. Yeah. You don't remember me talking about it on the podcast? No. Like,
all jokes aside,
you know, like a big thing for me used to be like, if me and Kara got into an argument, or, you know, I was feeling bad about something, like junk food is like my comfort food, and I would secret eat it and then just tell myself immediately the next day, be like, there's Taco Bell in the garbage can outside. So it's, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't have the capacity to harbor guilt like that and not like need to get it off of my shoulders in some way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I also like, I want to come back to this one because I want to know the details. I tried to go back even further into when it actually happened to see if I can get some more details about what police thought happened. Cause to me, this is very similar to something like the Golden State Killer, where it's like, you know, you come in, you attack the male, or like, did James wake up and hear what was happening to his mother and like try to intervene, you know? And I couldn't find any, like, this is what happened. And, you know, with his mother passing away only a year later, you know, it's not like you can follow up and kind of keep the story going and ask that person what they remember. And, you know, does anything else come to mind? Or, you know, did you remember something that maybe you forgot that night? And so, you know, for me, as I went through, I'm like, I really want to know exactly what happened. And I want to know, you know, why you made the choices that you made that night, and why the 17-year-old kid had to lose his life, and what was driving you to do something like this to a woman that was just home with her son, you know?
Well, you know that we 90% of the time don't find those answers.
I know. And that's why I'm, you know, when we do, I'm just like, oh, okay.
It makes it so much better. You know, just at least some understanding as to why.
Yeah. And like, you know, it was crazy too, reading it, because I live very close to Rock Springs Road, but Rock Springs Road is like, it goes a long way.
One of those that goes a long way.
Yeah. But when, you know, when you're going through and is like the 400 block of a street that is like right around the corner from you, even though it's, you know, a good distance away, you're still like, wow, that feels like it hits closer to home than it actually is. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. All the murders used to happen on my street and a different side street that was like several blocks away, but it would always be like my street and this street. And I'm like, man, so close to my house. But I'm like, really? It's like 12 blocks or more.
Well, if we're talking deadbolt test with something like this, because at the root of the crime, this is still a home invasion, a murder, a sexual assault. Like, when you really break it down to the nuts and bolts of what happened, even though it took so long for Robinson to be caught, like, what does a crime like this fall on your deadbolt test?
An 8. It's the home invasion. It's the attack. It's the murder. It's, I mean, it's the whole thing. I just, you know, I talk about it all the time, just being by myself. It's a scary world out there for women, but it's an 8 for me. What about you?
Oh, this is for sure. Like, when you break it down to what it actually is, this is a 10, like across the board for me. I think we talked a little bit about it in the Vampire of Sacramento episode a while back, but one thing that has always stuck out to me about that case was that, you know, a guy came home to find his, you know, pregnant wife murdered from, you know, this home invasion, and just thinking about, like, you know, you're out of town doing something for work, or like you're going to visit a friend or family or something like that, and you come home and your child has been murdered and, you know, your spouse has been sexually assaulted. Like, again, I don't know how you continue to operate with your life at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, this one hit on a lot, even though it was short, hit on a lot of very, like, specific fears and anxieties that I have. So for me, this is a 10 for sure.
It's a good one.
And hopefully we get some answers, we get some updates. You know, I am glad that, you know, I don't know, for some reason when these stories play out and somebody, because I'll call it what it is, to me it feels like the coward's way out, right? Like, you were brave enough and man enough to commit these crimes, you know, 26 years ago, but now, you know, instead of paying for what you did, you're going to try to kill yourself. There is this gratification that he failed and was arrested and is going to be treated for these wounds, and he's going to have to stand trial for what he did, you know? And I don't know, there's something about that that I'm like, good, that's what should happen, you know? So
100%.
Yeah. So definitely interested to see how it plays out, and we'll most certainly have to loop back to it. Well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's Short on Time episode. Olivia is giving it an 8. I'm coming in at a 10, but as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of James Houston and the sexual assault of his mother, Mary Houston, fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what are you doing? Come hang out with us. We would love to get to know you, spend some time with you. Really, it's the best place on the internet to hang out. So come hang out with us. We would love to spend some time with you. And if you like what we do, you want to help keep the lights on, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks. You can get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, if you want to help us out, right, help us keep the lights on, patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. That is all that we have for this week's Short on Time case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. Remember, we will see you again Thursday with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next time.
An O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card is the perfect gift for that hard-to-buy-for person. Give the gift of convenience from O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.